Yes, indeed. Amen. Please be seated, friends, as we spend a moment hearing the word of the Lord, expounding on that on this Reformation Sunday. Congratulations, really, to the church as we celebrate another birthday as the protesters, the Protestants, coming out of that, well, that time when correction was needed. And God raised somebody up, somebody like you and me, who loved him, loved his ways, and was concerned about proclaiming truth in a world that was influenced by lots of voices, particularly at that point in time, one big and powerful voice that was leading people astray. And so the Lord raised up a man by the name of Martin Luther, a guy like you, me, a man of faith, wanting to walk in the ways of truth. If you haven't yet and want to pick up an outline, they're on the back table there, so please feel free to get up and do that. If you want to take some notes this morning and follow along in the scriptures, I'm going to be working with Matthew chapter 11 today with us. So turn in your scriptures, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 11, verses 12 to 19, where we hear Jesus proclaim, "To what can I compare this generation? Well, they're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others." A unique turn of phrase that Jesus uses there to move us into kingdom truths. Truths that impact our lives today, certainly, but truths that are meant for an eternity with him. And how then are these truths conveyed and lived out? How are they expressed in a world where there are many influences, some of them very powerful, that would lead and guide and direct us in ways that are outside of the truth to which we've been called? Public platforms, as we know them today, allow for opinions or even truths to be expressed for the sake of influence. This public platform called virtual worship, the internet, social media, today is a powerful platform that allows opinions, but also truths to be expressed. And many of you today are being blessed by this social media platform so that you can be with us today in the truth, so that our lives might be influenced then by that truth. Public platforms, like the marketplace that Jesus is addressing in his day, and places like we know today, where ideas are exchanged, businesses conducted, truths are made known. These public platforms have been a part of our existence way back. In fact, think about what might be the first place in the scriptures which describe a public platform where people came together and expressed ideas. When I think about that, I go to Babylon, the plains of Shinar, and the Tower of Babel. People getting together. At that point in time, they had one language, right? One common language. People coming together to express an opinion which they thought was truth. Hey, let's see if we can reach the God who is in heaven and approach him and his ways and make that known among us. And so they built this tower, right? That public platform was powerful. Can you imagine being one of those people living there? And hey, come on, we're putting our field utensils away today, and we're gonna go build the tower. And you were saying to them, "No, I don't want to build the tower." How that peer pressure must have been powerful for these people. And of course, what happened there in this public platform? But the Lord God looked down, was displeased with the hearts of these people, and dispersed them now with the various languages that we know throughout God's creation. That public platform turned out very bad for humankind. Now we're divided by our languages. Fast forward this now, past Jesus into the New Testament. There was another place in which we find a voice being heard. It was in the Areopagus of Athens. And Paul going there to introduce the Athenians to Jesus. And he goes to this Areopagus, this public gathering place where debate and ideas shared would go on in this public forum. And he says to them, hey, I see you have this statue to an unknown God. Let me tell you about the known God. And there in this place, this public platform, and so it was that the good news of Jesus Christ proclaimed to the Athenians there, and many came to know Jesus, like you and I, as Savior and Lord. Powerful influence of truth in people's lives. Thanks be to God. Now, fast forward that, 1,000 years or so, and we come to another public platform in the town square of Wittenberg in Germany. Public platforms had shifted over time, like they are today. Public platforms would have been in the marketplace in Jesus' day. It would have been in the Areopagus in Paul's day. For us today, social media platforms, those are the places where we kind of come together and share ideas. But in Luther's day, it was where the church doors faced into the public square. And on those church doors, you could post that which you were wanting to sell, discuss, those ideas that you had questions about, like Martin Luther did. And so up on those church doors of Wittenberg Church, Martin Luther posted what we call today the 95 Theses, these 95 propositions that said to people and the larger church, there's some questions we ought to be talking about. There's some issues here that are coming out of the church's opinion that aren't in line with the truth of God's word. This is the day of October 31st, 1517, the start of the Reformation. And we know where that got Martin Luther, right? Got him excommunicated, even with a death threat over his head. But it also led to the opportunity for us today to know more clearly the truth of God's word as it's made known in our lives. And so we get to God's word. And what Jesus and the people were hearing in their public platform of the marketplace. They were hearing this. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. And we sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. Apparently, some saying that was popular in that day, but a saying that spoke to, in the public platforms, an invitation to be a part of something of a large group gathering. When this saying was made known, to we played the pipe for you and you didn't dance, it referred to that common community of invitation to a wedding, a celebration, an opportunity to come together as a community and celebrate the union of a man and a woman and the families coming together and a new life beginning and the community coming together and celebrating that in God's eyes. Now, on the other hand, when they said, we sang a dirge and you did not mourn, the other opportunity of the public coming together was to mourn the passing of someone they loved and cared for, the death of somebody, where the community would come together and join with that family and mourn. And so here in this marketplace, this is what the message that's going out. This is what's happening. On the one hand, you are receiving the invitation, but you are not responding. I've welcomed you to the wedding banquet of the Lamb, Jesus would say. You've got the invitation, but you're not responding. I'm even inviting you to the sacrifice of the Lamb in his death, burial, that ultimately is for your salvation, and you are not responding. In Martin Luther's day, there in the public square of Wittenberg, what the people of Wittenberg were hearing was that for a mere coin dropped into the box, you can, in a nutshell, buy your way into heaven or buy your salvation or buy somebody else's way into heaven. It was the sale of indulgences that John Tetzel, on behalf of the church in that day, was putting forth. It was really that event that got Martin Luther's goat and said, I can't keep quiet anymore. This indulgence thing, well, that's one, but I've got 94 others things that we need to talk about, and I'm going to post them on the door, and let's get this conversation started. In fact, what Martin Luther was saying there is you're receiving an invitation, this sale of indulgences, and you are responding. What's wrong with us, people? That we would reject the truth and listen to this voice of opinion that has nothing to do with God's word. But what do we hear today? What opinions, truths, are being proclaimed in the public platforms of our lives that we're hearing? How are they influencing us? We have any number of world views that come at us every day. You know what a worldview is, right? That which would influence us in ways that influence our decision making, that which we put hope and trust in. Ultimately, it gets down to the bottom of our truth system. That which we believe is true or not true, and that to which we cling to in the hope of what's coming next in eternity. The predominant worldview today in America is this worldview called syncretism. Syncretism. Syncretism is made up of a conglomeration of different worldviews. We would call ourselves biblical theists. That is, we stand on the truth of God's word and we believe in one God who's revealed himself in his nature as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're biblical theists. But there's lots of other worldviews out there competing for our young children, competing for our attention, competing for the priority of a place in our life. Things like moralism, things like Marxism, things like, well, anything with an ism behind it is really a worldview that's competing for our attention, that competes against our view of biblical theism, our Christian faith. Syncretism, in fact, is driven not by anything that would be true. Syncretism doesn't hold that there are documents worth clinging to, like the scriptures. Syncretism doesn't proclaim that any one view is truth. So it puts Christianity, that which we are willing to die for, into a big giant pot of all these other isms. And you kind of dip your ladle in there and scoop out what fits you at the moment. And you believe that, then that's relative for you then. Syncretism is driven not by an absolute truth, but by my feelings and my wants and desires as I have them right now. And in fact, it may even change tomorrow. And that's okay. Here's what's startling. According to a recent Barna poll, the percentage of people in our nation, Christians, believers, and unbelievers alike, who believe that syncretism is a proper worldview, 94%. 94% of Americans believe that syncretism is a worldview that is worth clinging to. Huh. And we wonder why the truth of God's word isn't being stood upon. We're not standing upon it in the church. It's because many of us have taken in this voice that how you feel, what you think is right, what you believe is best for this moment, you cling to that. Instead of the absolute truth of God's holy and inspired word and that saving gift that he's given to you of faith that clings to his grace that saves. That biblical theistic worldview which we as God's people are called to. That's the truth on which we stand. It's no wonder then that Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence and violent people have been raiding it. We can certainly say today, well, yeah, if 94% of Americans hold syncretism to be a worldview, no wonder the church is in such problems. Not just the organized church, but the kingdom of God is such a foreign thing to our culture today. But Jesus was saying this back then already. It's been like this for a long time. And there's one message that overcomes. There's one truth that speaks louder than all of the other isms that are out there. There's one truth that provides hope and life and salvation and a perspective outside of me. What I want to know or cling to is truth, or what I want to feel today is that which is best for me. And that truth is the gospel. It's the saving message of Jesus Christ. Saving message that has claimed you and me to be the people of God because of what it brings. Salvation. Salvation through the forgiveness of our sins in the cross of Christ. Salvation through his resurrection and empowering us then in a new life to walk in his ways. To have ears and hearts that desire to hear the truth. The kingdom of the Lord our God is a kingdom of invitation and opportunity that brings us into a truth that defines for you and me our life and living today. And this is the truth that we know. From Romans 3:25, the Lord God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, and that's received by faith. That's the truth that drives and defines you and me today, no matter what else is going on in the world, no matter what other voices are out there, no matter when I succumb to those voices and give in, I'm forgiven because of the blood of Jesus who has made me one with my Heavenly Father, that's claimed you in that washing for renewal unto life everlasting, that puts us on the path of a truth that stands forever in the fortress of our Almighty God, who stands and lives forever. For this righteousness, Paul would go on. Howard, I think I'm stuck. My thing's not working. There we go. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Saved by grace through faith. And that blessed gift of faith that believes this truth to be mine today. I want to be one of the 6% who cling to a biblical theistic worldview, who stands on the truth of Christ's righteousness because he saved me from my sins. He's given me a new life in his kingdom. And let this worldview stand against the majority. But let this biblical, theistic worldview, Lord, let it one day be the majority in my home, in my community, in school, my workplace, in our country again. And Lord, use me to be one of those voices, like Martin Luther or others who have gone on before us in the faith who speak that truth. I think my battery, yep, nope. So, where I rub shoulders with others, in fact, is my marketplace. It's my Wittenberg Church Door platform. Maybe you're into social media, all right. Maybe you like going to a coffee shop and meeting with others, great. Maybe you don't have any of those other kinds of platforms, but you've got a platform in your witness at work, in the community, in your home, at school, where we find ourselves moving and having our being each day, we have an opportunity to see this as our marketplace, our Wittenberg Church Doors, where we can proclaim truth. In other words, if Jesus were to ask each one of us, to what can I compare this generation? That question that he asked when he was in the teaching his disciples in Jerusalem. If he were to ask you that question, how would you respond? What would your answer be? Out of that 6%, a theistic, biblical worldview might provide this kind of answer, which we heard again from the word of the Lord today. It's John's revelation. It's the ideal to which we're headed, the truth of God's kingdom. That maybe we would answer this. Jesus, this is what I would like. That we follow the Lamb wherever he goes, We're followers of Jesus Christ, Him alone. And wherever He goes, I'm willing to follow. Because we were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to the Lord God and to the Lamb. So wherever I find myself, Lord, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a liver and a proclaimer of the truth. If that makes me a 6%er, thanks be to God. I'll take it. If Jesus were to ask, what is your marketplace, your Wittenberg church doors in which you rub shoulders with others? The easy thing to do is to take this literally, right? Well, this is these places where I live and move and have my being, which is true, but there's also another perspective to that. That living among 94% of a population that holds a worldview contrary to the very word of the Lord, maybe this perspective from the word of the Lord gives us opportunity to think. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Who's under the law? All of us. All of us are under the law. We've been saved from that law in Jesus Christ, but without knowing Him, we know no salvation from that law. So that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to the Lord God Almighty. Guess what's going to happen to the 94%ers? They're going to be, we all are going to be held accountable unto the Lord our God. And what truth is it that we're clinging to and is defining us? This is the world we live in. This is our marketplace, our Wittenberg church doors, wherever we find ourselves, the world which we live in, which is longing to know the truth and hope and salvation and a Savior. You've got Him. You know Him. He's Jesus. And if Jesus were to ask me, what is it then that I'm calling out to others in the witness of my life? What's the message of my daily living? Again, let's use the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 3. This is the message that we find. There's no difference between any of us as people, Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, or free. We're all the same. All of us have sinned, and all of us fall short of the glory of the Lord God Almighty. That's our plight. That's true for humankind. And no ism is going to get us out of that, except the truth that we are justified freely by the Lord God's grace through the redemption that comes in Christ Jesus. Isn't that our message? Isn't that the truth that defines us, the ism that drives you and me in my thoughts and in my attitudes, in my hopes and perspectives and in my conversations and in my dealings with others, even with you? That because of God's free grace, so we are justified unto salvation and have the opportunity to live that truth wherever we find ourselves. It would be a few years later, and Martin Luther would find himself at a place called, or at a, in a situation called the Diet of Worms, or Worms, English, W-R-M-S, but in German it's Worms. Diet of Worms. And there he was before the political leader of the day, the Duke of Saxony, the religious leaders of the church. His friends were gathered there. And Martin Luther was told, you are to recant everything you've said and everything you've written. Otherwise, not only is the excommunication that's been given to you going to stand, but you're also going to be burned at the stake. And Martin Luther said, here I stand. This is the truth that I know. I can't do anything else. In fact, my conscience is bound, and to go against my conscience would be ill-pleasing to the Lord. So here I stand. I can do no other. This is the truth that we know, that by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. This is the biblical theistic worldview that defines my life and living. Here I stand. We can do no other. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you've called us by the power of your Spirit into our hearts and lives to know your grace by that gift and blessing of faith to be your people. We want to be bold for you, Lord, 6%ers. We want to live in that truth that defines us unto eternity. So whatever platforms are coming at us, whatever voices are influencing us, turn them off to us, O Lord, to stay true to who we are in your kingdom for your name's sake. And give us boldness in the platforms of our lives to proclaim that truth. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit living within us and empowering us unto your purposes. In that truth, unto life everlasting, this is where we stand. And in your goodness and grace, we can do no other. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts, our minds, in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. In the biblical worldview that defines us, grace through faith. Amen.